on in, everyone. The listening is fine. The Carolina Outdoors is now in session. I'm Bill Barty, your host, and we've got a great conversation in store for you this morning. Hiking has increased in the Carolinas and beyond by leaps and bounds here in 2020. People hitting the trails, enjoying the outdoors adventure, and seeing places that they may have not seen otherwise. On this segment of the program, we're going to talk about the hiking that's going on here in the Carolinas and throughout the Southeast. We're going to talk to an accomplished hiker that has traveled the world hiking, backpacking, and more. Plus, he's written some about it as well. We're going to talk to him right now. In fact, we've talked to you before about your book, Put On Your Boots and Go. Welcome with me our guest, Greg Catledge. Welcome, Greg.
Good morning, Bill. Thanks a lot for having me today. It's always good to see you.
It's always good to have you in here. If I can get my microphone to work, it'd be even better. Here we go. Listen, Greg, first off, let's just get into the basics. You grew up in the Delta area of Mississippi. Mm-hmm. Now, when people say Mississippi, they don't necessarily immediately start thinking about backpacking. Tell us about your introduction to the sport of backpacking there and kind of how you got into it.
Well, growing up in the Delta and in rural Mississippi in general, obviously, maybe not obviously, but I grew up hunting and fishing with my father and grandfather, long walks in the woods. My first real introduction to backpacking was in the Boy Scouts, as is the case of so many young men, when I was 11 years old. And it was, I think it was the summer that I turned either 12 or 13. It's so long ago that the memory is hazy. Our scout troop took a two-week trip to the Great Smoky Mountains National Park. And that was my first introduction to long-term backpacking trips, because we spent, we did a fair amount of day hiking, but we also spent almost a full week on the trail, on the Appalachian Trail as it runs through the Smokies. And so from the time I was probably 11, 12 years old, I was hooked on backpacking.
Well, that's happened to a lot of people who have gone through scouts and scouting programs. They are introduced to a sport that they can enjoy for a lifetime. That was going to be my next question, was your introduction to the Carolinas and backpacking and hiking here. So you kind of answered it in one fell swoop. Hey, what is it about the sport that kind of enticed you? It's such a young age. And what is it about the sport that has continued that love affair that you've had with it, to the age you are now?
Well, it's hard to explain, but I have always been completely comfortable and at ease in the backcountry. I'm not one of those people that worries about, getting stung by something or bitten by a snake or getting lost in the woods. Maybe just because with the way I was raised in that environment, it's a place that I've always found comfort in. As an adult, backpacking took on a completely different, or filled a different niche for me in my life, because like so many people, I was involved in, had a career in corporate America. And to be in a situation where nothing mattered but food, water, shelter, and moving, walking every day, that ability just to let everything else, all of the worries of the world go and focus on really just the fundamentals of life became my therapy. Not only on weekend backpacking trips with the scout troop I worked with, but I continued as an adult to put together trips with a lot of old friends and new friends, and we would go out west and find some, either well-known or obscure trail and spend a week backpacking together. And that's what it has fulfilled for me. I would add, I've been a scout leader for nearly 40 years now, almost 40 years. I have a grandson who's on the brink of being an Eagle Scout. And backpacking to me took on another facet of it was working with young men who might not you know, maybe they couldn't be star athletes, or maybe they, you know, they weren't the most popular kid in class, you know, for whatever reason. They found that backpacking was something that they could do and enjoy. It's weird. It's not just the challenge of walking every day, but there's a whole process of planning the trip and making sure I've got all the gear I need, none of the gear I don't. Do I have enough, you know, have I planned a good trip? Do I have it, not just what it takes physically and planning wise, but do I have what it takes mentally to know how to handle situations? And do I have what it takes, and I don't know where this comes from, but you know, whether it's from the heart or the head or what, but you know, whatever it takes when you're just dead beat and can't think, you can't go on, to take another step. And seeing young men process that and learn that and internalize that, it's just a wonderful thing.
You mentioned a couple of things in that, and I don't know if you've been looking at my notes, because you're kind of covering and hovering around some stuff. And for our listeners there, I'm a bring back around what you were really talking about is there's a goal-oriented aspect to backpacking. And you also mentioned the backcountry. Mm-hmm. Will you talk a little bit, especially for our listeners out there, the differences between a hiking trip and a backpacking trip?
Well, I tend to think of a hiking trip, you know, obviously a lot of people, and even more, I think people now are taking weekend day hiking trips. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, it's relatively easy to plan a trip. If you live, are blessed as we are to live in the Carolinas, to plan a, you know, a weekend or a week long trip on the Appalachian Trail, you know, perfectly developed trail. Although I would say it's dang near impossible to get lost on the AT, we, you know, that does happen from time to time. The other thing, and the thing that that really appeals to me, and when I talk about serious backpacking, it's more like you could almost call it trekking. It's planning a trip where you might have to find your route, where you may be off the beaten path. I have been on multiple trips over the years where we didn't see another living soul for a week other than the people that were on that trip. It was, you know, these places were so off the beaten path. And those are the places that, those are just wonderful places to go. But that's kind of, you know, when you're carrying everything on your back that you need to be comfortable and you know, and safe, and doing it for, you know, several days, or you know, at least a long weekend, and to me that's backpacking.
Well, you chuckled when I said that you have traveled the world backpacking, but you have hiked the South, you've hiked out West, you've hiked the East, and you've hiked outside of the country as well, trips to South America and places like that. Tell us what's special about those types of trips, those type terrains, generally speaking, especially compared to what we have here in the Smokies, in the Carolinas even.
Well, I talk about outside the country, and that's only been a couple of forays. One was to the Canadian Rockies, which is remarkably like backpacking in the American Rockies. But on the other end of that chain of mountains are the southern Andes in Patagonia. And mm-hmm. and that truly is, you know, you talk about places being a different world. That is a different world. You are so far south, you're so close to the South Pole that even in midsummer, you rarely, you know, if you get into the low 60s, that's rare. Also, you have, you know, immense glaciers, and, you know, where you'll be walking in the rain, it's snowing in the mountains above you, and you're walking, before you know it, you're walking through what is essentially, you know, almost a temperate rainforest. It's mm-hmm. just, it like I say, it is unworldly in that respect. One, you know, it's obviously a long, long way to go to backpack because it's over 6,000 miles to fly down there, and that part of Chile is It's not a part of Latin America where you run into a lot of English speakers. So that, I know how to order a beer and ask where's the restroom in Spanish. And although those are key things, that won't take care of all your issues down there. But it's the stunning thing is the, the stark mountains, the rushing streams, the huge calving glaciers, the turquoise blue lakes, the lush vegetation, all jammed into one place. And the howling winds. You feel like you're on, almost at the end of the world, because and you really are practically at the end of South America.
Yeah, and bring that back to what we have here. The lushness, I guess. The greenery. What is it about home, the Carolinas, and hiking on these trails that makes this special? Of course, this is the Carolina Outdoors, and we want to hear what you think about your home hikes, and maybe what's one of your favorite home hikes here in the Carolinas?
Well, one of the beauties of the Carolinas, and I may have to slip right over the state line into Virginia for this, because I'm hoping you got some listeners up there too. But one of the things that I find most compelling about the Carolinas are the beautiful, the seasons, for one thing. We're so fortunate to be able to hike, four seasons out of the year without a whole lot of trouble in the Carolinas. There's nothing I like better than sleeping by rushing water. Mm-hmm. And there's so many trails in the Carolinas that are just replete. I mean, if you go into the Wilson Creek area in North Carolina, I spent once, two friends and I spent 9 days in there, and we slept by a waterfall every night but one, and we had lunch by a waterfall every single day. And it was, that's such a soothing sound and a wonderful, at the middle of a hot day or at the end of a hot day, hiking on the trail, to be able to jump off into a cool pool of water and let that water rush over you is wonderful. But I also like even though it's the Southeast, and I'll refer to something that happened a year ago this coming weekend when I was with our Boy Scout troop, and we were on Mount Rogers in Virginia, which is, most of you know, is just right over the state line. Grayson Highlands State Park. And on Saturday, we hiked all day in increasingly heavy rain. And it was just, I thought this is going to be the most miserable trip ever. Mm-hmm. We expected the weather forecast that night was that it would clear off, the rain would stop, it would clear off and be sunny, but very cold on Sunday morning. I thought, that'll be a break. But then we woke up Sunday morning, and I'm elbow my tent mate, and I say, am I just paranoid, or are the walls of this tent closing in on us? And it was the latter rather than the former, because although it had quit raining and the temperature had plummeted, it had not cleared off and it had turned to snow, and we had 4 inches of snow. It was still falling, and visibility was maybe 20 yards. And it ended up being, obviously the challenge of it, most of these guys had never backpacked in the snow. They never had to get up and pack up and get something to eat and hit the trail in those kind of conditions. And they still speak of it a year later in the most glowing terms, because, it turned out to be just something that, they learned they could do it. And that's one of the beauties of the Carolinas. It can be so unpredictable. It can be sunny, and then it can turn to rain, and then it can turn to snow, and that just makes it great. I think that's one of the best things about this part of the country.
And that story kind of goes back to the obstacles and the goals that get put in front of us on a backpacking trip. Let me say that I've said hiking a couple of times, but a backpacking trip, you have the obstacles of the terrain, you have the obstacles of the weather, you have the obstacles of the unexpected that may come along the way, and how enriching it is to meet that accomplishment through those obstacles and be able to plant the flag at the finish line wherever your backpacking trip is. There are some things that aren't as unexpected, and James Catledge is our guest. One of it is writing about it. You have noted, whether it be on your blog that you release, on social media, you've written in print I'm holding in my hand, Put on Your Boots and Go, James Gregory Catledge, Stories from the Trail. This book covers a whole lot of tales that you have covered through the years with friends that you've talked about just now, and family that you've talked to as well. But one of the things that we all go through is maturing. You mentioned being in leadership in scouting programs for over 40 years. You were a scout before that, starting at age 11. I still consider you a scout now, scout and scouter. How have those trips changed over those years? Do you make adjustments of what you pick to chew on a backpacking journey? And noting the ailments that age may bring us, how do you pick those battles of what trip that you are most comfortable with? And, you know, the old saying is hike your own hike. When you're with yourself, that's easy enough to do. But when you're with grandkids or someone who is hiking a different hike, tell us about Father Time and how we manage backpacking that way.
Well, I'll tell you, there's an old backpacking adage that I used to adhere to very closely at one time, and it was, if you weren't cold part of the time, you carried too many clothes, and if you weren't hungry part of the time, you carried too much food, and if you weren't scared part of the time, you just didn't plan good enough trip. and I will admit to having been, both hungry, cold, and scared multiple times in my life in the backcountry. Now, I try to avoid those things as much as possible now. It was nothing, Father Time is inexorable, as there's no doubt. And there was a time where, I didn't bat an eye on planning, 10, 12 mile days. Those days, I don't plan days that long anymore. And there are a couple of reasons. One is, I've always been somewhat of a slow walker with the backpack or without. As time creeps up on you, you get a little bit slower. I can still go all day, but I can't go as fast as I could before. So it's not uncommon to plan, particularly when I'm out with friends, plan shorter days. Now, when I'm out with the troop, they tend to plan a little bit longer days, and that's a little, they're not surprised that I'm the last one into camp every day, and that's okay. At a point I was driving at, I've forgotten what it was, but it's, and also I find that I am much more intent on taking good photographs on the trail. Now, I've always been an amateur photographer. I have a background in as an undergrad in fine arts programs, and so I've always had an interest in photography, but I would rather walk a 6 mile day, have a pleasant day on the trail, take some stunning photographs, than I had pound out a 12 or 15 mile day and not remember what happened.
Well, I happen to know through Jesse Browns, and this is Bill Barty here on the Carolina Outdoors talking to our guest James Catledge. He is right here, James Gregory Catledge, Greg Catledge. And Greg, as we talk about that, I know gear has changed over the past 40 or 50 years, and you've been able to lighten the load, so to speak, with more disciplined packing and that sort of thing. I've got to ask you this, though, because I know you're always looking ahead. And, of course, 2020. Not to ignore it, it's been a weird one for picking and choosing those trips, but what's your next trip? What's your next backpacking journey that you have on your radar, or maybe you wish was on your radar?
Well, one of the things that I would passionately like to do is, there is an obscure, I shouldn't even tell, that people may be listening and want to go there. There is, to me, what was an obscure range in Eastern Oregon, the Wallowas. We went there several years ago. It was a bit of a serendipity. We were headed out to do the Timberline Trail on Mount Hood, but they closed the trail because, as we were flying out, the trail was closed because a forest fire broke out. And we had to scramble and find another place. A friend of ours who was going with us, who lives in Portland, Oregon, said, let's try the Wallowas. And so we went out there we ended up doing somewhat of an abbreviated hike because we were scrambling, just couldn't hit the trail when we wanted to. And there are areas out there that we did not get to explore that I want to go back and see. It's a land, when you get that far north, it's like getting that far south in Patagonia. The tree line is a lot lower. And for those of us who might be altitude challenged by thin air, in Oregon, you can get out at 8,000 feet and you can be above the tree line and you can just be in beautiful, beautiful high country.
So you made me want to go too, and you gave it away here on the program. All right, we got to wrap this thing up. But hey, tell us so that we can go enjoy your writing. Will you give us to follow you on Twitter or Instagram or those social media platforms?
Probably the easiest thing is to go to my website.
Thank you.
JamesGregoryCatledge.com. Again, JamesGregoryCatledge.com. Not only does it have, it has links to all the social media platforms that I currently use, and it has links for those of you who might be interested in buying my book, because my books are available on Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, various outlets like that. But that's kind of that website's kind of the gateway to everything that I do on social media and whatnot, and in print.
Greg Catledge, thank you for taking a little bit of time and joining us here on the Carolina Outdoors. Of course, if you have any questions, can't find JamesGregoryCatledge.com. You can sometimes see him wandering around Jesse Brown's on a good day, like now in studio Jesse Brown's. We're going to come back after a few messages and wrap up this edition of the Carolina Outdoors.